with 1 year is okay. We are flexible. The second celebrant is with 5 years, Jessica, and Rose will give her coin.
Hi, my name is Rose. I'm an alcoholic. It's really cool to be able to present Jess with her coin this year. You're 5 years old. You're going into kindergarten. Good luck. One of the things that she told me when she first asked me to sponsor her was that she goes, Rose, you know what I realized? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, about 10 years ago when I first met you, I used to tell my PO that you were my sponsor. And I was like, what? I had no idea. She goes, you're the only person whose name I can remember. I was like, cool. So it came true. Now I'm a sponsor, which is very cool. It's been quite interesting watching you grow. And you're turning into a beautiful young lady. It's really impressive. So she's like on a roll in school and like all kinds of crazy stuff. She's finishing up. She's getting her degree. She's got a real big girl job now and the whole nine yards. It's just really, really cool to watch her grow and change and all this stuff. And I remember when she was 16 years old, this little kid coming into the young people's meeting and phew, wow. The change is incredible. It's just incredible. But she works a very, very strong program. She works with a lot of girls. She practices what she preaches. She's, you know, not a hypocrite anymore. And it's very, very cool. So, congratulations.
Wow, thank you.
I speak now?
Yeah, you speak now.
I've only celebrated in AA one other time, and it was to collect my one-year coin. And I didn't really have a year. I was dishonest about it. So this is cool. My first sponsor presented me with my year clean, and I wasn't able to be honest about relapsing. And I don't know. I don't know. This is crazy, crazy ride. 5 years seems like a mile marker. I don't know. I did a lot of work. I came to meetings when I was pretty young because the ism hit me young. It hit me young. And I had hit quite a couple bottoms just young. I came to meetings and, you know, the old, I spilled more alcohol than you drank. And, you know, so I was like, oh, I guess I'm not ready to come in. And, you know, I wasn't ready anyways. But all the typical things, you know, I was finally willing to do anything when I came in, and God really hooked it up because my first sponsor was into the big book, and I went right through the steps the way it's designed in the big book, and I've been doing that my whole stay here, so I'm very lucky. I hear a lot of people that have quite a hard road until they finally get a solution, so I'm very blessed. My life is completely different than it was. I'm here, typical story, right? I'm a completely different person than I was 5 years ago. You know, everybody says that, and it's true. It's true. I have like a crowd of people sitting over there. Like, it's crazy. I love the people in my life. I'm learning how to be a friend, a girlfriend, a daughter, you know, a coworker, a sponsee, a sponsor, you know, all these things. You know, I realized that I didn't know how to be, how to act, and I'm still forming a relationship with God. No, I have a relationship. I have a good relationship with God. And it's growing. It's ever growing. I used to be afraid to talk about God, and I'm not afraid anymore. So, yeah, I like this group. I can't make it out here. I had to actually take off school tonight to come out here. And I feel safe in this room. I feel at home in this room. I actually caught a resentment, and that's why I asked Rose to sponsor me. So it's funny how things work out. And it just feels really good to be celebrating here tonight and to get a coin at the podium and be honest about it. It feels good. So thanks for letting me celebrate here tonight.
Okay, we're going to go back a little. And next, with 1 year, is Erica, and Carrie's going to give her a coin.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm an alcoholic. Congratulations to everybody who's celebrating tonight. And this is a really special meeting to me because it's one of the meetings where I got introduced to the step work out of the big book. So it's been critical in my sobriety. And I'm just really honored to be here tonight to celebrate with Erica because if anybody knows my story, I am the real deal alcoholic. I mean, I didn't come in here questioning whether or not I was an alcoholic, you know. And when I work with somebody else who is also the real deal, it's such a pleasure because Erica is the real deal, okay? We have a lot in common. And her first day sober was at the Wilson House. Can you imagine, like, how intimidating that would be? And Sharon actually tricked her into going up there on a retreat, telling her that they were going to go shopping at the outlets in Vermont. And let her party a little bit before, you know, yeah, let's party and go shopping. And woke up in the Wilson House. So, you know, in the last year, she's a serious recovery person too. I mean, as serious as she used is as serious as she recovers. And, you know, she's the first person, and some people might be insulted by this, but I don't mean it like that. But the first person I absolutely know 100% every single day prays and meditates, you know, and does 10 and 11. And it's just amazing. You know, when you have that dragon on your tail, like we do, it's critical that you do that. So she did the steps in the first 90 days, the ANA way, and then we got together and started doing the work again because, you know, we all have to do the work every now and then. And it's just been such a pleasure because she's willing like you would not believe, you know, and she's experienced just about a lot of things that you can experience in recovery, and she's gotten through it sober and clean. And and she also, I remember when she made an amends to her mom, who's here, right? There she is. There's mom. Hi, mom. I remember her telling me that her mom said, "I got my daughter back." When she made an amends, that's key, to her mom. She said, "I got my daughter back." And so with that, congratulations, Erica. I'm giving you my copy of Around the Year with Emmett Fox so that next year you will be on day 365 and we'll celebrate again.
Oh,
I love you.
Thank you.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Erica. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. Thanks, Carrie, and congratulations to Jess and all the other celebrants as well. I'm a little tired. If anyone doesn't know, Danielle had her baby, and it was a long, hard labor, but she has a healthy baby boy, and for all you that were wondering. His name's Alexander Christian, 8'8", 20 inches. And 6 o'clock this morning, she had a C-section, so all is well, mom and baby. This has been an amazing experience, and I really wanted to be here more for my mom. It meant a lot to her. I think, you know, I've talked enough about what I've done in the past, but how recovery works is we just had Easter Sunday, and my mom said, "Oh, you brought me an Easter lily. Thank you." It's a $10 Easter lily, you know, and I never knew such a simple thing could mean so much to others. Someone said to me today, "Wow, you were in labor with a friend for 23 hours. That's service work." And it didn't feel like service. I would I wouldn't want to be alone like that. And that's what this program really is about. It's about getting rid of our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our ego, our pride, connecting to our higher power and helping others. I love when Chris uses the term, we need a help others book. And that's really what the fellowship is about. I've had some recent trials in my recovery that things that would normally make me want to use. But instead of using, I used the tools this program has given me. I used praying and meditating like you would not believe to my higher power, because it's because of his grace that I'm here and clean and sober. I called my sponsor and listened to what she said, even though I hate it when she's right. And I had oral surgery, and every day someone from this program was there with me so that monitoring my meds and me so that I wasn't alone through it. So I wasn't alone. And that's what the tools of this program have taught me. The steps have taught me that I'm not alone, that I have a higher power, and that I have, people that can help me through things. And I'm just so blessed. And I thank you all for celebrating with me. Thanks.
Okay, next is Marty with 5 years, and Kevin's going to give him his coin.
Where you go? Okay. Good evening, everybody. My name's Kevin. I am an alcoholic. It's great to be here. It really is. First and foremost, congratulations to all the celebrants. And congratulations to everyone who made the meeting tonight. If you're anything like me, I never, ever thought that I could stop drinking or doing drugs. And today's the day I've always prayed for, because I thought I was going to go to the grave with a bottle in my hand. Marty is celebrating 5 years this evening. How I got introduced to Marty was my sponsor gave me a call and says, Kev, there's this guy, Marty, I think you might have a little bit in common with, you guys are both into your business and you're single and blah, 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 and give him a call. So I called him once, left a message, no return call, twice, third time, all right. Anyway, he finally called me back, and Marty has come light years, like most of us do when we recover. When I met Marty, he was unemployed and unemployable. He went from a professional career to delivering phone books and driving a limo part-time to help meet the bills, borrowed money from family to keep it going. One thing about Marty, doing the step work, as hard as it was work with Marty when he first came around, and as stubborn as he was, like most of us are, he never backed off. When we came at him full force, and I did not help him alone. I needed to help tag team him with, like two guys on one. I mean, he's very, very difficult to work with, but he hung in. He didn't walk out and slam the door and say, all right, you guys are nuts. He hung in because he knew what was on the other side for him, which was more misery and all the other legal matters that go with that. And he was committed. And as rugged as Marty looks, the guy is sensitive. Like most of us guys, we got feelings. Believe it or not. Yeah, I know. He's a softie. But he cares an incredible amount about his family. He loves his family. And it's amazing over the passage of time how things change. There's been times when Marty, has helped me more than I was helping him. For example, Marty lost his father about 4 years ago. About 2 years ago, I lost my dad, and we were there for each other. The Rooms of AA, is what I've been looking for my entire life in my addiction to alcohol and to drugs. The camaraderie that that Bill saw in that bar downstairs in the hotel when he was sober a couple days and walked past the saloon, he looked in and he saw everyone grooving and being tight and laughing. That is what I was chasing my entire life, and I found it here in Rooms of AA. And I say this every time, is it's one thing to see God, to have God move through my life and lift out the addiction and give me my life back. As a young lady said before, a family member, a brother, whatever. I can be everything I was intended to be by God today. But it is incredible. It's an incredible experience to see it move through another human being, to see the addiction lift out, to see the family restored, to see the money restored back to family members that he promised to pay back. And it's just a beautiful thing. Marty is probably one of my best friends, I have to say. And I'm honored to be here tonight at the Bernardsville group. This is one of my original home groups from this area. I live in Virginia now. We're being hurled through this life at such a fast rate. I was supposed to be up here for an interview yesterday just for one day, and I'm going to be here for three. But I'm honored to be here tonight, and I love this group. There's a special part in my heart for this group, and the revitalization that Chris and others have put together to really shake up this program, this area, I'm proud to be part of. And Marty, step on up for your five-year coin, my brother.
I probably don't need that thing. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Marty. And thank you, Kevin, very, very much. It's funny, I saw Kevin in the Summit train station, Starbucks, and he's wearing a suit, and I'm wearing a suit, and I got scared as hell. I don't know, there's only a couple reasons these days why we wear suits. We weren't planning on coming here to celebrate. He had called me and said that he's doing some interviews, as he just said, in Long Island and New Jersey, and I said, hey, you want to crash? He said, sure. So, you know, I'm busy, you're busy, I'll call you in the late afternoon, and we'll, you know, kind of make it all come together. And I said, you know, I'm thinking about going to Bernardsville. And he said, you know, me too. So we came on down here, and lo and behold, it's a very special evening. So I want to congratulate all the celebrants and everyone who made it to the meeting here. Again, I wasn't planning on coming here. I wasn't ever planning on coming to AA. I was a drunken mess. I drank for effect. I threw up for games, like, you know, threw up for distance, and, you know, I had some real, real good things. I started when I was, in, you know, the young age of fourth and fifth grade, and that progressed into a big mess. I think that we all have our dirty bags of laundry and then a couple crisis moments, and I had a crisis moment, and, you know, some guy took me to AA, and I started going to meetings at another place, and after 3 weeks of being led around by some guy, I fired him, and I'm sponsorless, and some guy through my church, Kirby, suggested, you know, why don't you talk to Kevin, and I blew him off a few times, and I'm telling you, I called him. He still doesn't deny it, but I couldn't remember anything anyway. So, but anyway, I met him speak. You know, you're the new guy coming into the meeting, and he's speaking, and he's like, you must be Marty. Like, the guy's never seen me, and how they always know the newcomer. You know, I don't know if it was the sweat, the scar, the scabs on my hands, and I don't know what it was that gave it away. But, you know, we started working together, and, you know, he kind of let me do my own thing, and I had a lot of fellowship, and at one point it just wasn't working. And he said, look, here's the deal. You have to not go to this meeting anymore. You can only go to that clubhouse one day a week. You must go to Bernardsville on Tuesday nights. And everything else is up to you to fight for 5 days. And I cursed him out as I drove around the Morristown Square. And, you know, I cursed him out a lot more than that, too. But, you know, I did it. And I only did it because I was freaked out, scared. I cannot drink again. I'm afraid to drink again. And because I drink for effect. And anyway, so I wasn't planning on any of this, wasn't planning on it tonight, you know. 5 years ago, I was $100,000 in debt. I got a job now, and it's amazing. Because of AA, I got to school. I actually passed a big-time exam. That's amazing, and I only got that through 5 years of sitting in a class for an hour every night, learning about myself and sobriety, and that allowed me to sit in a class at nights after work, and there's so many great things, but I didn't come in here for the great things. I came in here because I didn't want to drink. If you're new, I hated celebration meetings because I couldn't care less. Now I'm kind of into them. It's nice to see other people and talk about their successes. And if you're new, don't leave until the miracle happens. If you're in your 90 days, don't drink for 90 days. Save your money. At the end of it, have a big party if this isn't for you. But, you know, I listened to my sponsor, and I came to Bernardsville, and I try and do five things a day. I pray in the morning, dear God, please keep me sober. I call another alcoholic. I hit a meeting. I read a page, a sentence, something out of approved literature. At the end of the night, I say, thank you, God. In the beginning, I was told to put my keys underneath the bed. I only did those things because there's an order of importance, God, AA, family, job. Kevin told me that one day I'd be begging to go to a meeting, and now my life is so busy, you know, like tonight, hey, let's just go to a meeting. And I love you, Kevin, because he's as serious as a heart attack and knows the big book like a surgeon, but he's funny as hell. And we're driving down here talking about times and listening, like, this is great. We're going to Bernardsville listening to the talking heads, you know? and playing the radio as loud as we can. So if you're new, you know, it can happen to us. It's in 80 countries and 60 languages. It's in millions of people, you know, all around the world. I just went to a meeting where I won an award thing with many other people, but I was one of the guys, and we had a meeting at 8:30 a.m., you know, on the beach. It was freaking wild. Thank you, Chris and John and Pat and Carrie and Mary Beth and Shadood and all these other great guys out there. And if I missed you, I apologize, but everyone's so important to me, and I can't do it without you. And Dave and everyone else, thanks again.
All right. Next is Dave K with 11 years, and Chris S. will give him his coin. My name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic. This is an incredible honor. Dave has done so much for this meeting. Dave showed up here back in 99, back in the early days of the Spiritual Awakenings group. And he's probably the only person besides maybe myself from that period of time who's been, you know, really consistent, like always here since that period of time. He's made more of these meetings than anybody. He sets up, he's done more service work than anybody. So I'm especially grateful for that. Dave's become a really good friend of mine. Not only has he run a really strong program, but the amount of help he is to other people. He was at kind of a turning point in his life 6 months or so ago, 10 months ago. And he came to me with an idea. He said, I'm thinking about moving into one of the local recovery houses because that'll give me more of an opportunity to work with other people. You know, that is an incredibly selfless thing to do. So he's got an unending supply of people to work with. It must be completely unmanageable. But I don't even know half of the people that he's working with. You know, he's taking people through the steps. He's showing them the path to recovery, and that's just absolutely amazing. Dave and I have started to do some workshops together. We had an opportunity to do one in Connecticut, one in Pennsylvania. He's a lot of fun to do those workshops with. He's a little bit like me. He's serious, but he also is not serious at certain periods of time. And we have a lot of fun doing that. He's just an absolute great guy, wonderful sponsor, I'm sure, to have. And you know, an incredible example of what Alcoholics Anonymous can change you into. So without further ado, here you go, Dave.
Dave, alcoholic. I'm trying to remain humble. trying. You know, this meeting means a lot to me. Chris was mentioning service. It's always been, maybe because of Chris's lead, it's always been important for me to have some kind of service commitment. I think ever since I came in, or ever since I got sober, I had a service commitment of some kind. And it actually, you know, in the times of desperation, it kept me coming to meetings. It kept me going. It took me out of myself. And, you know, and that was just even early on with just making coffee, you know, setting up, you know, even picking up guys, being thankful I had a car, so picking up people and driving them, you know, just being thankful I had a family, inviting them to holidays, things like that are just so small, but it keeps people coming, you know, and they don't have a chance if they don't keep coming. They got to be in the room in order to hear the message, you know, so I really believe that's really important. And this building itself, I know people from all over that come back just to walk in these doors. You know, people that have moved on, have lives, started their own meetings. You know, Chris has done an amazing amount of service to this area just by starting this meeting. And I'm truly grateful to be part of that. I'm grateful to be in a situation where I not only am part of a group, but I know my sponsor's sponsor, you know, and I can talk to him. And I know his sponsor in case I want to tell on him. And we know his sponsor, you know, I mean, we know five generations of sponsorship, which just doesn't happen, very often. But that just means, one, I'm part of a solid lineage, and two, that I remain humble. You know, I remain humble, and I mean, the experience I have is nothing compared to what I can tap into. But I truly appreciate this meeting. Again, without this meeting, I don't know where I would be. I finally got some time in between the drink, and that was after 3 years of going to meetings and trying, couldn't get more than 30 days. I finally went to rehab, walked out for whatever reason. I believe it was because I prayed the night before. I actually had the obsession lifted. Even though the obsession was lifted and I was doing everything people told me, nobody was telling me to go to the book. And after 2.5 years, I was going home from a meeting crying because internally I was falling apart. Internally, I hadn't changed a bit. I looked around and my whole network was gone. And I was relying on the network as my higher power. I was relying on the meetings as my higher power. And when you walk into a meeting in 2.5 years of sobriety and you got some problems and your higher power's gone, what are you going to do? You know? And I truly got to a point of desperation. And luckily, I had seen Chris at a workshop here with a couple of friends. One of the friends had continued doing the work, and I saw the change in her. And she handed me the phone and said, call Chris. And, you know, I immediately, when I saw him in the front of the room doing the workshop, I said, that's what I want. You know, he looked like a funny accountant. Little did I know. But, you know, it was weird because there was two people doing the workshop, and I just knew that he had what I wanted, not the other person. But I just gravitated towards him and tried to do everything that he told me. I was a little slow, but, you know, he kept on my ass a little. And luckily I got through it without drinking. So I have a tremendous amount of debt to the program, to Chris, to this work, this room itself, to this church, to the people around in this room that have kept it going, to all the friendships and fellowship that I've had over the years. Without any of it, I wouldn't be standing here, and I truly believe that. So thank you. Okay, next is Chris S. with 18 years. Oh, no, you're going to go last. I'm sorry. False alarm. Sorry, I got all caught up in myself. I was thinking how great that was, and yeah. Next is Scooter with 20 years, and Chris S. is going to give him his coin.
I'm still Chris, and I still am an alcoholic. Hi, nothing has changed. Scooter and I go way back. I've known Scooter for my whole sobriety. He came in a couple of years before me. And we went to a lot of the same meetings. And what happened was, if it wasn't for Scooter, I don't think this meeting would have started. He had a friendship with the priest that ran this church. He's no longer here. But through a series of crazy circumstances, we ended up getting hooked up, and the priest asked us to start this meeting back in early 98, I think it was, late 97, something like that. So he's an integral part of what has happened here, part of the chain of circumstances that brought about this particular group. Scooter was someone who went through the steps back in the heyday. This is when I was living out in Pottersville, and we had a meeting in the house. Mary Beth would be taking women through the steps. I'd be taking guys. You know, it was crazy. You know, the dog probably heard 65th steps during that period of time. But it was a period of time where a lot of people went through the work, and the significance of that this is that all of the people that actually went through the process, like Scooter did, he did everything, did all the amends, you know, was absolutely thorough in his fifth step, prayer and meditation, working with others. So he did it all. Anybody from that period of time back in the mid-90s, Pat was one of them. There's a number of people that are still around. Every one of them is still in AA. They're still sober. They're still working with other people, and their quality of life gets better every single year. So, you know, Scooter is definitely an example of that. We have some other things in common. He's into music like I am. And you know, we've remained in contact. He was part of a group up in Hackettstown that was also a strong Big Book meeting, and he was a great presence up there. He's carried the message to a lot of people, has a great program, and I'm really, really proud to be able to give him this 20-year chip. 20 years.
So math is not my strong suit, but I was just standing here looking at this. 83 years worth of sobriety tonight. I'm Scooter. I'm an alcoholic. And when I first started coming to AA 20 years ago, there were a lot of people betting serious money that I wouldn't make it. You know, that I wasn't going to last 6 months. And it was touch and go. You know, I was an alkanaut for the first couple of years. I orbited AA a lot, and I would land every once in a while in a meeting and take a few rock samples and take off and orbit again. And then eventually I realized that if I was feeling crappy and I went to a meeting, I felt better. And then a year or so after that, I realized that if I went to a meeting every night, I would feel better every night. And what happened was I became hopelessly addicted to Alcoholics Anonymous, which may on the surface sound like a good thing, but it wasn't, because there wasn't really any change going on. And I came to Chris when I was eight and a half years sober, just almost 9 years sober. It was just before my nine-year anniversary. He hooked me up with some Joe Hawk and Mark Houston tapes, their first, one of their early workshops. And listening to that at work, painting this house by myself, I just broke down in tears, because it was a completely different concept of Alcoholics Anonymous than I was aware of. You know, 9 years in AA, and I had no idea, and I did not have a clue that the Big Book was an instruction manual. You know, and my friends and I would read through it and relate to everything in there. And really what we were relating to was what it was like to be an alcoholic. So I went to Chris. That was finally the thing that deflated my ego a little bit. And I went to Chris and said I wanted to do this. And he said, be at my house Thursday night, 7:30, bring your Big Book. You know, and the rest is kind of history. You know, I discovered that Alcoholics Anonymous is much more than just a bunch of people hanging out in churches and doing everything together and bending over backwards to keep each other safe from temptation and safe from worry. And I realized that it is not a selfish program, and that time doesn't just take time. It takes a lot of hard work, and it takes dedication, and it takes honesty above all. You know, and I was a real big guy for the slogans back in the early days, and the only slogan that I hang on to is keep it simple. And I've discovered that anything in my life, no matter what it is, as long as I look at it simply, I'm going to find the solution. You know, just go back to basics and go to God, and the solution will generally present itself. You know, if you're open to receiving it, and the other thing that I've always hung on to is every single one of these coins that I've gotten over the years, almost every single one has said on it, to thine own self be true. Now, that's not an AA slogan. That's Shakespeare. And there's a reason that it's on there, because I have to continue to be honest with myself. You know, we need to be like Popeye. I am what I am. I am who I am. And I die a painful death if I try to be somebody else. I try to pretend to be somebody else, you know. And that's what I learned through the process in the Big Book. When Russ and I hooked up, when Russ came to me a few years ago and asked me to sponsor him a couple of years ago, he had this wonderful little catchphrase that he had gotten at a meeting somewhere, that the fourth step shows him who he's not. And I said, that's absolutely not true. It shows you who you are, you know. And it showed me who I was, because I had done all of that stuff. I had every single one of those actions, every single harm that I had done to other people, I did it. That was me. That was what I was when. And there was a lot of ugly stuff in there that happened during the first 9 years of sobriety. So I was still, as my first sponsor would say, I was an unguided missile my first 9 years in sobriety, and still wreaking havoc in people's lives and trampling women's hearts and being a lousy friend, a selfish lover, a greedy, slothful employee, and actually a fairly crappy AA, you know, because nobody that I was sponsoring was staying sober. You know, and then along came the experience with the Big Book, and I started to get honest about it and really take a look at who and what I was, and be willing to accept that and take what I had and work with it and go forward. And all of a sudden, you know, my life changed dramatically, and horrible old relationships were healed or set right and then set aside. I was finally able to have a real, legitimate, honest, intimate relationship with a woman, and now I'm married, and I have a child, and I have a home, and I had a job until I had my own business, until I gave it up to stay home and take care of my son. I have a three and a half year old that has some pretty serious mental and developmental issues, and my job is to take care of him. You know, I get to drive him to school every day and pick him up, and then take him home and play with him, you know, and all that. And I take him to his doctor's appointments, and he is absolutely cooler than the other side of the pillow. You know, it's it amazes me. You know, I come to realize that it's you know, we used to, what was it that Joe Hawk used to say? Wouldn't it be funny if we discovered that our entire purpose in life was to develop a great sense of humor? You know, that would be funny. But I discovered that my purpose in life, everything that led up to the moment I met my wife, was so that we could create this, you know, this little person. I have a picture on my phone if anybody wants to see it later. This little person, you know. And I compare what happened when we found out about his cardiac issue was the first thing we found out about. And back before I went through the work in the book, something like that would have been an excuse for me to rant and rage and just really lose it, you know, because it was all about me. How is this going to affect me? And what happened when my wife and I found out about that, we were 18 weeks pregnant and found out that he had this really serious heart condition. Didn't know anything about his ears or eyes at that point, just the heart condition. And we locked ourselves in the house for 2 days. She called, I called my customers, she called her boss and said, we're not going to be in for a couple of days. We found this out. And we talked and we cried and we talked more and we held each other. And at the end of it, we said, this is no longer about us. This has nothing to do with us. I never talk about him at things like this because this is not what defines him. But it's only because of, you know, Chris stands up here and he talks about what everybody else does, but he's really the one that started it all, you know. We are all, every single one of us in this room, in a very real sense, because Chris was taking guys through the book in his house when nobody else was. And he's made it possible for so many of us, and it's like generational at this point for so many of us, to be able to deal with everything that comes at us in a logical, rational, sober, successful way, and to be there for the people around us. And you know, to just kind of take life as it comes. So I'm very happy that the people that were betting against me 20 years ago were wrong. And for a while there, I had a resentment about the first 9 years, you know, that it was wasted time. But it wasn't, you know. It took what it took to get me to the point. I had to be as miserable as I was with 9 years of sobriety to be willing to go to Chris and do absolutely anything that needed to be done to find some kind of relief. And, you know, I got the little bit of relief that I was looking for and decided I wanted more and more and more. And so here I am with 20 years. Thanks a lot.
Next, we have Pat C. with 15 years, and Chris will give him his coin.
My name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, buddy? Oh, is that what it is? Hey, listen, I remember those 9 years with you, so don't start.
Oh, man, this is great. Pat and I go way back. Pat is a great friend of mine. I've gone through so much with him. You know, over the course of time, as we were working with each other, there was a lot of things I went to him with. You know, I mean, just because you go through the steps does not mean that there's an absence of problems in your life or an absence of challenges. Mm-hmm. A lot of challenges. We need each other's support, and Pat's definitely been one of the guys that I've gone to over the years. Pat's been a blast to sponsor too. Of anybody, he's probably come the furthest of anybody I know. He comes from a hellacious past, he like escaped from that past and came up to Bernardsville. It was like that must have been like a culture shock, like Jed Clampett moving to Beverly Hills or something. It must have been unbelievable, but here's what he's done. He went through the steps early on. And he recognizes there's a certain class of people that are going to respond to him. And he's worked with these guys. Guys I wouldn't touch with a 100-foot pole. You know what I mean? He's been in there working with these guys and really, really making a difference in so many people's lives. He's done a lot of work in some of the other fellowships that's just heroic. He's got a lot of responsibility on his plate. He's got a huge company, you know, with a gazillion employees. He's got a family, a big family. A lot of things are going on in his life, but he always finds time to work with another alcoholic. We've had a lot of fun over the years. I can't even tell some of the, I'm not even going to tell any of some of the stories, but I tell you, he's really, really worked hard for his time, and I'm so glad to have a chance to be able to give him this chip.
Thanks, Chris.
There you go, Pat.
Thanks.
Pat, alcoholic. Thanks, Chris. I was thinking I was rushing here for my wife to get here, to give her sponsee a coin. And I remember going up to, where were we? We were at the meeting that was too late. What was the name of that meeting? You remember that, honey? Going up 206, doing 100 miles an hour. I had to wear a shirt and tie, right? She was like blue through every red light, you know? I had a cup of coffee. I had it all over my shirt, my tie. We get to the front door. She goes, all right, now get out. And I ran out. And it was like I had to speak. I was like, what? You know, I was thinking about that. But yeah, so, you know, I remember being at your house and being at the River House and Mary Beth and piling into that house. And I remember you had a little day bed that I used to take a little snooze on. I used to love for you to read to me.
You know, it was really special. I mean, to this day, anytime when I sit across the table and work with somebody and I'm tired and, you know, I just got home from work and they're there already and, you know, I think about all the readings you used to do, me and you sitting out by the River House, and I think about that and press on, but you laid out, you know, I thought everybody sponsored 50,000 guys. So I thought that's what I was supposed to do, you know. I thought everybody had all these people piling into their house. I remember when I first got married and my wife and I, we moved into my house. And I forgot to tell her that one night a week there's a bunch of guys that come to the house. And I remember... She was doing it in the kitchen, doing the dishes or something, and there was Sean T. and Richie by the window, peeking in through the window. I scared the bejesus out of her, like, oh, they're just some of the guys. They're coming over. But And then we came here, but you know, I was thinking, I'm glad both of you are here in the same room together, because you know, you guys really helped me. I'll tell you, going to the early Bernardsville meeting Tuesday night, when we used to go up on the hill, and Monday night, and Chris and Gary really nurtured me back into society. I was really, I remember, you know, and I haven't told this story in a long time, but I actually, we used to go Monday night to the beginners meeting. And then either we got into a fight there or threw a chair at somebody, but I would wind up at Bono's Pizzeria, and they would talk to me outside for hours until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And actually, just if I had like a social event, like a birthday party to go to, I didn't even know how to do that. And they, you know, they would just say, you know, just don't say nothing. Just don't. And that was serious. No, I didn't mean like that, but like, I mean, profound things. Like I needed to know, like, don't ask a question unless you really wanted to know the answer, you know. And that was profound to me, because, you know, before it was just that chucking and jiving and what's happening, and I really didn't care what was happening with anybody. So, you know, I mean, those things but it wasn't too, I think Mary Beth threw us out of the house and got too many of us over there, and we opened up this place here, that I really started to become a student of you know, it was really funny, because we had these Joe and Charlie tapes that, I mean, if you ever heard these old scratchy tapes, I mean, I never even heard anybody with a southern drawl before, you know, until I heard it on a tape. I thought it was a joke, but like, I didn't know people really talked like that. So, but then, I mean, well, it was funny, because, you know, Chris would like, you know, he would say, okay, you know, learn something on the tape and then try it on me, you know, and it worked there for a little while. You know, we did, I was like a test monkey or something, but I started responding to it. And then we came into these rooms here, and like I said, we started, really started working some step work, and really became a student of these rooms. And I started asking, turning the big book into questions and how it related to me in my life. And I got to tell you, coming from Bernardsville, learning how to re-enter society with the old timers, how to become a gentleman, and then coming into here and having spiritual experiences here. I mean, I was flying around the rafters here. I did some incredible... hair-blowing amends through this process. It was funny, because back then it was just like, here, try this one, and just I would go out and like either you turned your hair white or you know you were gonna make it through, and we did that. We did those type of things, and I mean, I come back here buzzing. And I remember everything started coming alive for me. I mean, I was no longer asking. I used to, you know, being the selfish alcoholic, I would always say, why me? And then the book started talking to me, and started becoming what I could do for others. And getting in tune with what was going on in the spirit. And that's what was happening here. And there were some incredible lessons. And I used to love coming here, taking out my book, and just getting a pen, and just like my spirit was starting to suck the book up, and it was no longer me. And it was just incredible, and I'm really grateful that that you did open this up for us, and that a lot of us left here and started opening up other meetings and bringing this message out to the masses. So thanks for letting me share. Chris, I love you. Gary, I love you.
Pat reminded me that when he said the day bed, I remember the first time I met Pat was at the River House, and I went there, drove, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere. There's no lights. There's just, he's like, just trust me, there's a house at the end of this driveway. And I'm sitting in the living room, and Pat's sitting in, I'm on the day bed, and Pat's in the couch, and he's got a hoodie on. And he just looks at me, and it's just him and me, and he looks at me, and he goes, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing all right, but I got a really tough amends I got to make. And I explained to him the amends, and he goes, yeah, that's a tough one. And that was it. That was my spiritual leadership there. Yep. All right. We're jumping all over here. I'm losing track. Next, with 23 years, is John A. And Chris S. is going to give him his coin.
My name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic. John and I have been working together for a number of years. There's a lot of things that John and I have in common. One of them is I'm really into jazz fusion music. That's like a subsection of music that like one person in 1,000 can even tolerate for more than 4 or 5 seconds. And you know, we're both really into it. We share a lot of music together. John's got a really interesting life. He hangs out with all of my rock heroes of like the 1960s, like Johnny Winter and Alice Cooper and all these people. He's got a business that kind of revolves around these people, and monster movie stars and stuff. You know, it's really really interesting to talk with him about it. Another thing that I have in common is anybody in here ever get a resentment against their home group? I know that none of us are, you know, probably very few of us have had that issue. But I got to work with him on one, and it brought me right back to a number of home groups that I had issues with, you know. So that was very interesting. John has just recently recommitted to the step process. He was just over my house a little while ago working on some of his stuff. He's going in the right direction. You know, he's got a really strong recovery message to share. He's going in the right direction. And like any of us that participate with this stuff, life gets better when you do it. You know, and I'm really, really happy to be the person sponsoring John because he's headed in the right direction. He helps a lot of people, and he's a very, very interesting guy. Here you go.
My name is John. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic at a hopeless variety, which is scary. It's a scary concept without steps. Very scary. You know, Shakespeare said a lot of stuff. Shakespeare said, neither a borrower nor a lender be. I wish I'd have listened to that one. You know. Recently, Chris said that recently we were doing some work together again, and I was given an exercise to do, and it involved asking three people in my life to take my inventory. And for anyone who hasn't done that, it's a very interesting thing to do. And if you're dying an alcoholic death, you're more than receptive to doing that. If you're an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, like I believe I am. The most valuable assessment of my life and what I'm about that I got was from someone who I would never, ever, ever in a million years ask to help me with that. But each morning, I do this little meditation thing, and this guy's name kept coming to me. And I kept going, I don't do that. Nah, I'll get somebody else. And no one else was available but this guy. So I walked up and I said, would you help me with an exercise that's been given to me by my sponsor that's been like put off way too long and I need the last of the three people to help me with it? And he said, well, what is it? And I told him, I said, well, you need to, page 60 and 61, it talks about the actor. And I would like you to let me know how that applies in our relationship. And he said, I'd be glad to help you with that. And So I finally made an appointment. I sat down with him, and he told me exactly the truth, 100%. And this is another reason how and why I know there's a God, because I was receptive enough to shut up and listen to what he had to say and get something out of it, you know? Now, I have been given an exercise to do the first two columns and then finish it up and then get back with Chris as soon as possible before the momentum breaks down. And it's amazing after 23 years of continuous sobriety how many people I hate on this earth and how many principles. It's amazing, you know. I can remember talking. I was talking to a guy recently, and this is how I got to Bernardsville. I did not hear that there was a Messiah here. This is what I heard. I had come from a home group that I had I trusted. I lived with. I drank Kool-Aid with. No, I was very tight with a home group and a sponsor who had taken me through the steps, and that's where I got relief. I got relief. I also found in Alcoholics Anonymous there's a difference between relief and freedom. And about a year or so after, I realized that my sponsor was human and that it was just me and God. That happens to me a lot. I'm put down where it's just me and God. And a friend of mine called me up and he said, there's a meeting in Bernardsville. And they have the message, like where you came from. And I said, really? I said, you mean you actually work steps and people don't like chastise you for working the steps? He said, yeah, check it out. It's at 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening. So I did. I came here and I came here and I went through the steps originally with another guy who I'd actually grown up with, he and his older brothers. And he was this tall when I had first, you know, known him, and then he was like this tall, and he kind of laughed like Herman Munster. You know who I'm talking about. So, you know, this type of atmosphere is conducive to my mental health. I need this because I'm alcoholic of the hopeless variety. I cannot not drink and go to meetings. I cannot drink and go to meetings, and then when I leave here, I'm going to rob banks. And I've heard there's people in here that have done that too. I heard that the other day, but. I need a solution because I am an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. I remember buying a drink for a girl in a classy lounge once, and I said, "What would you like?" And she said, "I would like Bombay gin neat." I didn't know what neat meant, so I walked up to the bartender and I said, "You know, Bombay neat. And what does neat mean?" He goes, "No ice." Oh, I like my AA neat. You know. Sometimes I'm reluctant to do the work. I heard Chris, when I first came in here, say, you know, it's amazing how people with long-term sobriety have a hard time going through the work. And we do. I had a hard time going through the work. But I honestly can tell you that I'm not willing to find out what's going to happen if I don't go through the work, because I know what happens when I don't go through the work for a period of time. I don't necessarily pick up a drink, but you want me out of your life. You don't want me around you. And I don't know this. And he's laughing like, you know me, right? Yeah. But when that proposition to have these people take my inventory, and I sat down and I thought about that, I realized something very important. I think I said this when I was up here last year, which goes to show you how slow I am. When I sat down to find three people in my life, a woman and two men, that really knew me enough to take my inventory, there wasn't that many left. And this is somebody 22 years sober saying that. So I have a tendency to push people away from me long before I even realize I'm doing it. You know? Am I grateful to be an alcoholic? I don't know. Am I grateful to be here 23 years later? Am I grateful to have kids call me the old guy? I went and did an amends to my boss, and I told him that. And this is a boss I stole from. I cheated his company. And when I got done with the amends with this guy, he said, "When are you going to come back and see me again?" No one ever did that with me. They wanted to get rid of me, you know? But I told him that, and he laughed. He laughed. He goes, "John, we never would have thought you'd have got to be the old guy." And I said, "Well, maybe I get a little older. But I love Burnsville. Chris is really cool. We do have a lot in common as far as music and the people and the famous people he talked about in my life. That is so cool. I never would have thought that that would have happened, you know. Kevin, who's up here from Virginia, very good friend. Marty, I mean, these guys are friends. These people, I have more real friendships in Alcoholics Anonymous than I ever had out in the world. I mean, real friendships where people would die for me and I would die for them. I don't know how you guys would die for me, but you know what I'm saying. you give me a lot, you know. You have a lot for me. If I'm willing to take it, there's a lot here to be offered. And I'm working with a guy right now. He's not even sober 90 days, and he's on his fifth. We're moving. I'm moving him fast. And he said he came from a meeting the other night, and he said that he said that I'm pushing him too fast. And I said, well, how fast do you want to go? You know? He goes, well, I want to go. I don't know how fast I'm supposed to go. I said, that's the good thing. Just keep going. Just keep going. And it's great the way I was shown how to use this book, utilize this textbook. This basic text, it actually shows you exactly how to go through those steps in this book. And it saved my life. I have better relationships today. I know how to have relationships with men. I'm learning how to have relationships with women. I've never been married. There's some lucky woman out there that never met me, and she doesn't even know it. When you're to make an amends, I find in my experience, and this is creepy, when I'm to make an amends, if I don't look for that person shows up. I didn't see my high school girlfriend for a long time. Poof, she was there, tapping her foot, looking at me. Hey, Nance, how you doing? You know, I got to make an amends, and it was interesting. I can't tell you. How cool this really is. But and you never know what's going to come out of it. You never know. I never know. I don't know what's going to come out of the work I'm doing with Chris right now. I know I don't feel like continuing, but I know that if I don't, and I'm in it right now, I'm in the middle of it, and that's not a good place to stop. Because I've seen people start the work, get into work, get deeply involved, in, you know, and then they're drunk. And it ain't the relapse fairy that strikes them drunk. It's the behavior and the actions and the inactions up to that point. But I love being sober for the most part. I'm as fearless as I want to be. I'm as fearless as I'll allow God to keep me, you know. And I love what Peter M. says. He says, you know, my God can see a lot further than I can see. And I wish I had that conviction all the time, but I don't. But I do have a lot of good friends in AA, and I do have a program of recovery for my alcoholism if I choose to take it. I just noticed, you, Mike, you and Pat look a lot alike. You're not related, are you? But anyway, thank you for being here. This is the first year you guys have had a coin from me. I'm impressed. So I got a lot of coins. I feel like if I got enough coins, in the beginning you told me to eat them if I feel like drinking, you know. But I'm the type of guy that's going to have a drink anyway to wash them down. Thanks a lot.
I added it up, and we have a total of 98 years of tonight. 98 years. All right, well, we saved the best for the last. We saved the best for the last, and now we will have the Grand Poobah. Big Daddy. Yes, Chris S. with 18 years, and Gary will give him his coin.
Poobah Shmoobah. I'm Gary. I'm an alcoholic. This is a real treat for me to do this. Chris and I have been doing this and working together for a lot of years, and congratulations, by the way, to the other celebrants. That's really good stuff. We weren't gray when we came in, were we? No. I was cracking up over here, though. You know, I've heard Pat called, Pat and I go way back, and I've heard him called a lot of things, but never Jed Clampett, I got to tell you. That's a first. Like I said, Chris and I go back a long way, and I look at some of the stuff that Chris has done, and I remember when Chris first came on the program, by the way, and really did everything wrong, to be honest with you. He did a lot of stuff wrong, and like I guess I know I did too, but to watch what's gone on over the last 18 years with this guy has been amazing for me. You know, one of the things that's so important as we, you know, move along in this whole continuum of recovery is working with others. I mean, if people ask me something, you know, what's the secret to long-term sobriety? Well, I don't know if this is the secret, but I do know that it really rests somewhere in working with others. That's certainly what helps me along and what where I keep my focus. And I know it's definitely where Chris keeps his focus, because I couldn't even scratch the surface. But, I mean, here's a guy that and I understand, you know, I remember when he started this meeting, I remember him coming to me saying, you know, I got this opportunity, what should I do? You know, so we talked about that, and then that, you know, that began a little over 10 years ago. But here's a guy who does everything from going up to run retreats at Wilson House in Vermont to, obviously, he sponsors a lot of people. I mean, he sponsored about half of the dais tonight. But he's always done that. As a matter of fact, at one point, I remember us having a conversation about, I got too many sponsees. I don't know what to do. I'm running myself right. I said, well, do less, you know. And that's hard to do sometimes, is to do less, because we want to do as much as we can. But, you know, we also have to learn balance, which is something that I wasn't very good at when I first came in the program. I'm better at it than I was, but certainly something we need to learn. But, you know, here's a guy who is always giving of his time, always over the years has made time to help other people. We've gone through all kinds of stuff together over the years with sponsees and drama and crises and personal issues and, you know, just everything that life throws at you in that amount, in a lot of years, you know, we've gone through together. And it's a sponsor-sponsee relationship, but sometimes you got to wonder who's on which end of that deal. He's really become a really close friend of mine. I mean, a really close friend. We do a lot of things together. We communicate regularly. We're even involved in a little situation now that business. I don't know if I'd call it business. It's a business of sorts, but it's got the opportunity to really broaden the reach of recovery in a meaningful way. And he is right in the heart of the. I said to him at one point, you know, would you be interested in, I'm involved in this organization that we're doing these things. Oh, I'd love to be involved. Now he's right in the heart of it, you know, cranking away. He's smart. He's passionate. He's all this stuff. Maybe he is a poobah. I don't know. But anyway, it's nah. He's just Chris, and we love him. So anyway, congratulations, Chris.
Oh, I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. I love Gary. Gary and I just go way back. I asked him to sponsor me somewhere around 1993. And I was a piece of work around that period of time. You know what I mean? He's put in his hours with me during some of the periods of time. I did have an unmanageable load of sponsees. You know, sometimes you allow your ego to make your decisions. And I was just saying yes to everybody at one point in time. And I had about four of the craziest guys you'd ever have. One of them, you know, ended up threatening my life and my family's life. Another one ended up robbing banks. You know, A couple of them were sociopathic, psychopathic, mental cases that were, extremely violent. I mean, and I had all these guys at once. Gary was trying to help me manage him, but he basically said, "What the hell are you doing?" I recognize the fact that you don't just try to manage somebody's unmanageable life. That's really not what we're here for. We're not these drama coaches from hell. As sponsors, I went into a sponsorship burnout time where I was just ineffective working with others. And there was a number of guys who'd gotten through the steps and they were doing pretty well. And they weathered that storm. But I was like a deer in a headlight for a period of time. I just was burned out. And, Gary was helping me with that. And, I remember when I went to him to talk to him about starting this meeting, it was somebody else's idea, by the way, because back in 1998, there was step meetings, there was discussion meetings, and there were speaker meetings. There were no Chris teaches the big book meetings. I knew that I was going to be in for a ration of crap across the board. But because of the circumstances that came up, I knew it was something that I needed to do. And I remember bringing it to Gary. And what Gary wanted me to look at was my motives. Why am I doing this? What is this for? And he kept a real close eye on me during that period of time because one would have needed to, And he's just been a great support system. We are involved in some really exciting stuff. For many, many years, participation I had in professional recovery processes was I would go and speak at rehabs or detoxes or whatever, and this endeavor is putting me in the middle of high level recovery professionals, which I'm gonna have to be so open minded to be able to be effective with this because. You have your own ideas, and that's a whole nother way of looking at our addictive illness. And I'm gonna need to learn it and be very open-minded toward those processes. And that's gonna be a lot of fun. Some other things that happened in my life just recently is I was a bad electrician when I came into this program. I was just butchering houses and, anybody ever see the Three Stooges, the plumbers, Hey, Mo, no one has no water. There's wires in these pipes. I was just doing some really bad electrical work and I was irresponsible and, I was spending all my money on comic books. I was a mess. And there was a whole lot of maturing that had to go on in recovery. The crazy thing was I thought I had this real unique perspective on the world, like that I was smarter than everybody else, and it was a dark, complicated perspective, or artistic type of thing, and I felt the injustices of the world, more than the normal scuttlefish people. And I was completely out of my mind and incapable of operating a normal life out there in the world. That was, I had the clothes that I had from high school and, because I'm not going to waste money on clothes if there's like a new album out or something. I was just had all my priorities wrong. And the end of my drinking, I'm a chronic alcoholic. If you look in the big book, it says, "What about the real alcoholic?" Okay, well, that's me. I fit like every bit of description of that. I'm chronic. I drank every day. I was a blackout drinker. I would drink as much as I could every day. I'd pass out. I'd go to work drunk the next morning and shake my way through the day and then stop at the liquor store and went home. And this became a normal way of life for me. Literally, if there was ever parties or anything that someone would mistakenly invite me to, toward the end, Toward the end, I would do something like this. I'd be in a conversation with somebody drinking my bourbon, and I'd be in a sentence like this, and I'd say, excuse me a second. And I'd turn around, and I'd be right back into the sentence. They'd be looking at me like horrified. You know, I was so used to just vomiting that it was second nature to me, you know. And I was a pass outer, you know. It was one of the things that people didn't like about taking me out. You know, toward the end of my drinking, I had this bad habit of curling up on warm car hoods to go to sleep. Like at bars or something, you'd come out and you'd find me like curled up on your car hood. You wouldn't know what to do because you couldn't wake me up. To come out of that like chronic state of alcoholism and you know, come into Alcoholics Anonymous is a culture shock. Believe me, for the longest time I thought everybody in AA was full of crap. I walk in and, you know, there's, oh, yes, I had a wonderful day today. I'm thinking, like, if you drank like I did, you'd want to kill yourself. None of you could possibly be alcoholic. I really had this contempt prior to any kind of investigation. And it took a long, long time to heal. My first 6 months were horrific. How I got through them is only the grace of God. Because, you know, I was just getting to meetings and just, you know, trying not to to yell at anybody and, you know, not succeeding. And it was just really a black, dark time. But, you know, there were enough people like Gary in the meetings at those times that, you know, people that would reach out their hand and people that would try to help. Along the way, I got exposed to some recovery tapes, which became very influential in my recovery philosophy. And this is not an isolated phenomenon. There's pockets of enthusiasm that are popping up all over the English-speaking world at this period of time because, you know, some of them are contacting me. But there's people that are listening to XA tapes or Primary Purpose, you know, the download sites, and they're starting these literature-based recovery groups all over the place. And it's a phenomenon that I think Alcoholics Anonymous needs. I think there really are some changes that need to be made in Alcoholics Anonymous in certain areas to really get back to the basics, to get back to the things that really worked. For the longest time, we allowed a lot of outside influence to come into AA, and then we viewed all that outside influence as actual AA stuff. And really it wasn't. It was outside influence. And that kind of diluted the message to the point where a lot of people weren't able to come into AA and stay. They weren't able to come into AA and really stay sober. And, you know, the process of Alcoholics Anonymous, it worked for the absolute worst drunks in the 30s and 40s. The absolute Bowery bum, you know, living in cardboard boxes, insane asylum alcoholics. And if it worked for them, you know, it can work for any of us. And so the process of getting back to those basics is something that a lot of people are involved in. And I'm glad to be a part of that. I'm very grateful for this home group has done so much for me over the years. You know, I want to thank Gary. I want to thank Mary Beth and all of my friends in here because, my sobriety is very fragile. I know how fragile it is. And without constant support and without the enthusiasm that I get from everybody to continue to do the things that I've done over the years, you know, like that, I could start heading in the other direction. And for an alcoholic like me, it's not too hard to envision that in a short period of time I could be drunk again, you know. And believe me, to go back to that, I don't know how long I would be able to tolerate that kind of pain and loneliness and misery. I'm not used to suffering that way now. I've gotten kind of weak about suffering. I don't suffer well anymore. You know, I mean, I would go to work and like anybody else, you know, in my crew that felt half as bad as me would have been in the emergency room. You know, I had those kind of hangovers. You know, today I can't deal with a headache. You know, So I could not, I don't think I could not last very long. But anyway, I've talked enough. I want to thank all of you for being here tonight, and take care. Thank you for all the celebrants. I have a little bit of housekeeping. Chris provided Joe Hawk. This is the last workshop Joe Hawk did.